Ladies and gentlemen, it is now 4:00. I'm going to call this meeting to order. My name is Catherine Kostelnik, and I'm going to ask each member of the commission to introduce themselves. We have a new member today. Her name is Chloe Kavner. She's at the far end on the right way. There you go. And next to her,
Kim Campbell.
Eileen Baker.
Randy Tate.
Austin Rojas.
Thank you all. First order of business today is the approval of the minutes from January the 8th meeting.
Go ahead, Austin. You take it. Kim Campbell, I move that we approve the minutes from the January 8th, 2026 meeting.
Austin, I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are approved. The first item on our agenda today is the petition of Fast Signs Kelly Brooks for 502 East Harris Street for wall-mounted plaques. Let's hear from staff on that. And would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Alexander Merced. On behalf of the MPC, speaking on 502 East Harris Street today. So the applicant would like to install two informational historic signs, one to explain, and you know, let me just bring that up real quick. One to explain the founding and one to explain the preservation of the Beach Institute. They're to be mounted on a recessed brick wall, as you can see here, that encloses the rear courtyard of the property. So a little bit of context. This is the Beach Institute. It was originally the first official school for African-American children after the Civil War. It is now home to the Beach Institute African-American Cultural Center. It is located at the northeast corner of Harris and Price Street, and the two proposed signs would front Harris Street. So the first sign, first of the two signs, this is the founding sign. It notes the original building design, initial class enrollment, and curriculum for the attending young African-American scholars. That is one thing I learned from this project. They called them scholars, not students. Thought that was interesting. And here. Here, somewhere, if I can find it, there we go. We have the second sign. If I can zoom out, maybe not. Well, the second sign is here. It notes the original, it acknowledges the preservation efforts of SCAD President Paula Wallace and the Savannah civil rights leader and former president of the Savannah chapter of the NAACP, WW Law. Both signs impart enriching information that has not already been referenced in any other marker or monuments. And the events of the founding sign took place more than 160 years ago. Now, the one thing that's a little bit different on the preservation sign, the events only took place around 38 years ago in the late 80s. And that is sooner than the 50 years that are typically required in order to receive a historical marker. However, these events from the preservation sign, we feel are inseparable from the history of the building and are instrumental to understanding how it arrived in its current state. The story of the building's preservation and the people who were involved in it speak to its current function as a cultural center. And the current function ties directly back to the original function. And therefore, we believe that it is a reasonable inclusion, even though it's a bit younger. With all that being said, we do recommend that the board approves the proposed signs outside of 502 East Harris Street as requested, because the work meets the standards within the master plan and guidelines for markers and markers, monuments, and public art. Excuse me. So thank you very much. I'm open to any questions you may have.
Thank you, Alex. Do any of the commission members have questions for Alex?
Just, Austin, had a question about that last piece there. Do we happen to know when the King Tisdell Cottage Foundation was created or founded?
Off the top of my head, I do not. No. I do have the applicant here. I don't know.
Okay. And the reason I ask was I was wondering if that might be a way to, you know, if mentioning when that was founded would make it easily past the 50-year threshold, but it seems like maybe not. So that ends my line of questioning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kim Campbell, Alex, can you remind me the size of both the title and the size of the main text on the marker itself?
Yes, the main text is 0.71 inches, and the title text was just a touch over 1 inch. Don't remember the exact decimal point, but just over 1 inch.
I have a question. So if the preservation sign does not meet current standards because it hasn't been 50 years, is that what I'm understanding?
Correct. The current standard in the guidelines do say that in order to receive a marker, events need to have taken place more 50 years ago or more. But however, as I explained, the understanding what the function, current function of the building, and how it arrived that way, you need to understand how it was preserved and the people who really stepped in to ensure that it was preserved.
I understand that. Is this an all or nothing proposal? In other words, can we approve one and not the other, or do we have to vote on the whole thing as a package?
It is your prerogative to vote the way you see fit. Now, if say you wanted wanted adjustments to one of the signs, we could, like I said, we have the applicant here, so we can always check and see if they would be amenable to any other changes as well.
Thank you.
Austin, I did look it up. The King Tisdell Cottage Foundation was created in 1981. So that gets us a little bit closer. That's 45 years, I guess.
Close.
Any other questions for commission members, for staff? If not, do we have someone that is presenting on behalf of this proposal? Step up to the mic, please, and give us your name.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex. Hi, my name is Holly Goldstein. I am a professor at SCAD, and I am speaking on behalf of this petition. So thanks for hearing us today. I had the pleasure of leading a group of SCAD students who did research on the Beach Institute and collaborated with the directors of the Beach Institute. And this proposal comes out of a long process of researching how the Beach Institute can better publicly tell its story. They designed and created signs to go both inside and outside the Beach Institute to better tell the story of its important moments on its timeline, including its beginnings as the first school in Savannah for emancipated blacks after emancipation. The kind of key moments along its time as an institution and its current function. And so part of the project was implementing interior signs that explain the exhibitions and talk about the Beach Institute's function and history. And exterior signs were proposed as well. The students found that the biggest pain points with the Beach Institute's location were that most people couldn't find the entrance to the Beach Institute and they didn't know what the Beach Institute was. There are no signs outside that say exactly where to go to find the entrance or that it is a African-American cultural center. So this was an opportunity to use the exterior space to help with wayfinding and storytelling and to really enrich the neighborhood with a telling of how the Beach Institute has always been, since its beginnings, a cultural and educational foundation for that part of historic Savannah. So two signs were already approved. They are signs that point to the direction of the entrance. And the two signs that we're proposing today have more text on them because this is our opportunity to use public space in Savannah to do more storytelling about the function of the Beach Institute's history for African American history in Savannah and current function. The Beach Institute is a great name, but most people don't know what it is. And so just the increased interpretation on the exterior of the building really helps with that. The students identified in collaboration with the Beach Institute directors that the two most key moments in the building's history are its founding and its time of preservation. So we all know the founding is when it became a school, and we wanted to tell some more information to enrich the public narrative of what was taught there and what the students, what they learned and how it was really an institution of, scholarship and neighborhood enrichment. The other sign for preservation talks about that key moment in the building's history. The building was a school for many years and then lay vacant for many years and was in a state of deterioration when President Paula Wallace of SCAD collaborated with Wesley Wallace Law and were able to find the funds and the means to preserve the building. So I do understand that it has not quite been 50 years since the actual date of preservation, but it's been, it was sort of a longer process of getting the building ready for preservation and actually opening the doors to the Beach Institute. So that's why we felt it appropriate to kind of extend the time period just on this side of 50 years, because the process of preservation was a longer, well, of course, a much longer process until the doors actually opened. And the preservation of the building makes it what it is today and helps us understand its current function as Savannah's flagship museum for African American culture and history. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for her? No, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for explaining that to us. Is there anyone else that is here to speak about the Beach Institute signage?
All the history of it.
Okay. Is there anyone else here that is here to speak about the Beach Institute signage? Is there anybody online?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Commission, what's your pleasure?
Kim Campbell. Unfortunately, the guidelines allow no wiggle room in the 50-year event rule or the 25-year past someone's death rule. There's no outstanding significance question allowed here. So my what I think is most appropriate for us to do, if we're allowed to approve one and not both, is to approve the one about the history separate from the preservation. My recommendation to the applicant would be that I understand completely where you're coming from and agree in terms of a whole narrative, what makes the most sense. However, our guidelines have no room for us to make a call on that. To the staff, I would ask that maybe we consider an outstanding significance caveat to our guidelines, which is typical in, of course, National Register work, a very similar worded that would give us the leeway to be able to make this call. But unfortunately, at this point, we have no way to be able to approve anything that it does discusses an event that is not at least 50 years old.
Anyone else? Please step up to the mic.
Thank you. And in response to the conversation, is there room in our application to amend the text so it doesn't have an actual date and it refers more to the general era of preservation?
So on sort of this, continuing with this discussion, Austin, by the way, for the record, is it possible to perhaps tell the story in between these points? You know, the founding text leaves off at 1919, and then we jump to 1998. My hunch is there were things that happened in those 60-odd years, 70 years in between. And if maybe we can have some of that story in there, so that way, you know, we're telling a story that starts in 1867 and goes all the way to the present day and easily clears that 50-year threshold.
Absolutely. There's so much information we would love to tell publicly. Wesley Wallace Law's biggest accomplishment, or one of the biggest accomplishments, was the preservation of buildings significant to African American history, and that extends prior to his establishment of the King Tisdall Cottage Foundation. So I would be interested in possibly extending the timeline on that sign.
And so what I'm thinking is voting on approving the founding one, with a continuation, giving time to amend the preservation one to meet that 50-year threshold.
Is that a motion?
Not yet.
Okay.
Kim Campbell, staff, can we split that in this way?
Caitlin here. You can split it. You can say approve the founding sign and continue the preservation sign to allow the petitioner time to revise the text, or however you want to say it. But you can do that. Just note what each one is.
Kim Campbell, I now have one more question for the applicant.
Go ahead.
So would your preference be to see the founding sign approved today, in which case the text is set for that particular sign, and then the secondary sign we're talking about, the preservation sign, would be the one that we're looking at currently continuing, so that you would bring back to us with new text to address the 50-year rule? Or would you prefer us to continue your entire application? That way you could continue as you're working wordsmithing, right? Maybe some things move to one and the other, and then this one is not set. This one being the founding is no longer set. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I'm thinking quickly of all the information we could possibly tell and how best to arrange it on the signs.
I have a question while she's, while you're, you have more time to think now. So I was asking for Kim, the outstanding designation, would you, you said that there was an option of doing what again?
This is Kim Campbell. So our guidelines don't allow us to approve anything just because it has outstanding significance. But in typical American preservation practice, for instance, in the National Register of Historic Places, we generally cannot list things unless they are 50 years old. But there is what they call a criterion consideration for things that are less than 50 years old, and they have to meet a have some sort of outstanding significance. In a case like this, our applicant can come to us and say many of the things that she said and point out why the preservation story is of outstanding significance to the Beach Institute. Our guidelines for this don't have that, so we don't have that option.
Okay, we do not have the option for outstanding significance. Thank you.
So to clarify, would this be possibly able to be a continuation of the petition, and that's preferable to a denial of the petition?
At this point, we can table it and you can bring it back. Which we do very often.
Okay.
It's quite common for us to do that after we do this process of question and answers. And then you can come back next month, the following month, however you want to approach that.
Okay. Does, would it be enough to just change the text on one of the signs and then keep the original application in? Or would we resubmit the entire application?
This is Kim Campbell. So with a continuance, you would just be making adjustments per our particular conditions. And I guess my question is, I don't think we're looking at denial outright of either sign at this point. My question is, do you want the one that discusses the founding just approved? You could print it. It would be ready to be installed, but it also couldn't have any changes, right? Versus we could just continue both of them. So you could continue to adapt the text on both occasions.
If okay.
Option of not setting the founding sign in stone today.
Okay, so I think that sounds like a great idea to continue the entire process and continue to make sure that we're set on the signs, both of the text. Would I be able to have consultation to get some feedback as I'm working on the sign sure. language? Okay.
Please reach out to staff.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay. And the other question is, you're offering the ideas of perhaps for future meetings of the commission to have some caveats in the language of I forget exactly the language you said, but it was something about special circumstances. Is that something that could be implemented by the next meeting?
Kim Campbell. So we don't set our guidelines. They are set for us. So we can't do that, but we've asked staff to make a recommendation on our behalf to say that this is a thing that we acknowledge that we need. So.
Okay. Thank you.
So your preference is to continue?
Continue the entire petition to a
subsequent meeting.
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to vote on that, staff, or just? Okay. I have a motion.
A date? Okay, and then that's March 5th. Okay. Austin, I'll make a motion to continue the entire application to make adjustments on the 50-year threshold for the preservation, the continuation date being March 5th, our next meeting, if that it gives you enough time.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Eileen, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Austin,
Kim Campbell, before we vote, can we discuss the motion?
Yes.
Okay. I was just going to suggest, having worked on markers before, they can take a lot of time. So I was going to offer a continuance of up to 90 days, but you can come back sooner. That way, if something happens, your application doesn't get denied automatically because you didn't come back next month.
Okay. Austin, would you be willing to amend your motion?
Yeah. Don't we just vote on that amendment? Mm-hmm. Right. And then.
Okay.
I think we can give you the date of that meeting 3 months from now. Just to have the date certain in the decision. He's looking it up. May 7th.
May 7th. Okay. So
we're
voting to extend the deadline for this application to no later than May 7th. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Austin, aye.
Randy, aye.
Eileen, aye.
Kim Campbell, aye.
Chloe Kavner, aye.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming in today and telling us all about that. Sure.
Okay. So if we are ready for the March 5th meeting, do I reapply? I can just be in touch?
Yeah, you just contact staff and tell them you're ready to come back or take all the time you need.
Okay.
And do get staff's input. 90 days. I mean, within that 90-day period, take all the time you need.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to clarify, anything that gets continued at a meeting, the deadline is normally the day of the meeting, but you get an extra week because it's happening right now. The deadline's come and gone. So if you know within the week's time that you want to be on the March agenda, then we'll be on standby for that.
Thank you. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the petition of Laura Walker, citywide murals on 14 storm drains. Staff?
Thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant is requesting approval to paint 14 storm drains throughout East Savannah. This is phase two of a similar project that was approved on August 4th of 2022. As the applicant stated, the project includes installing murals on 14 storm drains in East Savannah to convey the important message of only rain down the drain, because each drain is a direct connection to our rivers and ocean. The applicants provided the selected drains and their locations. This is a city project, just to clarify. So just to kind of give some background, phase one included drains that flow into the Ogeechee River watershed. Phase two focuses on storm drains located on Savannah's east side that flow into the Savannah River watershed. As with phase one, the city held a call for artists, open to Chatham County artists of all backgrounds, aged 18 and over. The city will, selected the artists and will provide the materials and paint for those murals that have been, or the artists that have been awarded. And just to kind of go through
these were the selections. And the artists could choose the shape that they wanted to apply for, but they couldn't select the drain. So you'll see like the kind of like a trapezoid shape, and some of them are square, rectangular. So that's just a little bit about the process. And this was according to the Call for Artists website that they were going to also, once these were chosen, they would be meeting with community members and then obviously coming through first the Historic Site Monument Commission and then the City Council. So just some of the points of the review, the theme, the theme of the project is improving water quality in the Savannah River and Ogeechee River watersheds. It is respectful to the context of the community. It is not intrusive as the murals are painted directly onto the tops of storm drains in visible areas. For location, the storm drain murals are complementary too, as well as enhance the aesthetic of the storm drains. Since these are all on the ground over the drains, they will have no impact on any architectural features. Artist qualifications. Typically, if it's just one mural, we'll be looking at that particular artist and what their portfolio is, what they've done locally. So obviously in this case, there's several. And again, as the aforementioned Call for Artists was announced and coordinated, artists were asked to submit a written proposal, a bio, and images representing their artwork. Design specifications requested original designs calling attention to our waterways. So with that, let me go back. We did get one public comment earlier today. Normally, you know, we say within 48 hours, so we will always save them to the file so it becomes part of the record. There was one comment in opposition to one of them, which is on Tennessee and Maryland. And so that was just the one comment. So I don't know if people had a chance, but it is published on the agenda for that, where it will stay there and in the file. So just before I read that staff recommendation, just wanted to mention that. So the staff recommend that the Historic Site and Monument Commission recommend approval of the proposal to install 14 storm drain murals throughout the east side of Savannah as requested, because the proposed work meets the criteria for murals within the Murals, Monuments, and Public Art Master Planning Guidelines for the City of Savannah. Thank you.
Do any commission members have questions for Kate? No questions?
Kim Campbell, sorry, I'm going to be in trouble today. I have more questions. You mentioned the artists they selected the shape, not the locations. The city, I assume,
yes,
selected the locations,
yes,
for them. The one mentioned in public comment, as well as another one over there, appear to be surrounded by residential areas, residentially zoned areas. So do we have neighborhood support to go with, to go with that?
So the public notice that went out and the signs that were posted, the only thing that we've heard is from this one letter. And then I know that, you know, there may be also commenters here today as well. But I think that would be a great question for the applicant to see, like, how in the city they determine the locations and got the approval and so forth. But so I will defer to them to get the solid answer.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we have people here to speak on this proposal?
The applicant.
Who's? Great, thank you. State your name, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Laura Walker, and I work for the City of Savannah Water Resources Department. Water resources is drinking water, water reclamation, which is basically water that we've used, and stormwater. And back in 2021, I was thinking about how to convey that the water that goes down the storm drain does not go to a treatment facility, because as I do outreach and education across the city, is one of the first questions I ask. People still to this day, the vast majority, whether it's, you know, children or seniors, the vast majority of the people still believe that the water that's going down that drain in front of their home, their grocery store, their church, actually goes to President Street Water Reclamation Facility. That's the one that they know. That's the one that they smell. And they think it all goes there, the vast majority of people. And it's because it used to. In the 70s, that's exactly where it used to go. But the Clean Water Act made us divide our water that we've used from our stormwater. So I was researching around the country on what other stormwater water resources departments were doing, and I came across a couple of progressive utilities that did storm drain art. And I was like, wow, that is so Savannah, because we're such a creative city. So I did some research, a lot of research on the paint, the application of it, how to go about doing it. And I think the first phase was absolutely a success. It was, got a lot of love. And I think that even though it's been almost 5 years, the installations really look good. They need a little cleaning. And we have stated that we are going to do that with this process. We're going to gently spruce them up and reseal them. Back to your question about how this process went. So we work with the Cultural Arts Department and advertised for submissions. We got 45, I believe. And there was a group that decided between the 45 on 15, if you'll notice there's an alternate in here. So the decision was not all mine. And then once the art was decided on, I get with staff and we talk about where good locations might be. So that's how the locations were started or selected. This time around, it's a little bit confusing, because we did allow the artists to kind of pick their shape. And I think a lot of the artists picked their shape based on the money that they would receive if they were rewarded for that shape, right? The trickier shapes, the trapezoids and the irregular polygon shapes get more money because they're more challenging. So what we've had to do is go back to the artist and say, hey, I know you presented, I'm going to point to this one in front of you, this triangular piece, but actually it's going to be a trapezoid. So, you know, they know to expect and anticipate for the adjustments. Also, what's different with this phase and why it took so long, anyone's wondering that, between phase one and phase two, because this was a really big effort. I am a staff of one, and it was very, very, very time consuming. And I just needed some time to go by before I did the next phase. A little bit too much time has gone by. But and in the first phase where we chose the Ogeechee River, and actually it's the Vernon River that we chose. The Vernon River flows into the Ogeechee River. But there are creeks within the Vernon River, Hainer's Creek, for one, that's actually on an impaired list with the state. So we started with that one. We felt like it was the most important one to do. The Savannah River is impaired. All of these drains do flow into the Savannah River. So with this phase, also in the discussion with the board or the selection committee on different things that we can do to make this process more transparent and really relay the message, is to put some sort of QR code that people could go to that would lead them to the website, which there's an extensive website on this project called waterconnectsusall.com. And I'm not sure about how I'm going to execute that right now, because the last thing I want to do is put something on there that's potentially going to, you know, fall off or go down the storm drain, heaven forbid. But I do think that's a good idea, to be able to carry the story and the message further and deeper. Last time we put temporary signs up by each site and they stayed for 30 days, kind of given the history and the explanation for why the drain installations, what they were all about.
Questions from the commission for the applicant? This is Catherine Kostelnik. I have a comment. You said that we approved the previous phase. How long ago?
We installed it in 2022.
Okay. Well, I've been on this board longer than I thought. Because I remember when that was proposed and came before us the last time.
Does it seem like a long time to you?
It doesn't seem like it's been that long. But I think Eileen and I are the only ones that are still on the board that were here during that phase. And you said that the paint and everything has held up really well.
I believe it has.
And the city is maintaining that.
Yes. We provide the paint. The artists give us their color list. And then I go and work with the Sherman Williams rep to get that all squared away. It's the highest quality that they have, outdoor. City of Savannah preps the drain beforehand, cleans it, primes it. The artists come in and apply the paint, and then we put a sealant on top of it, three layers of sealant.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Kim Campbell. So for the neighborhoods where it's at, do y'all have like letters of support, or what type of outreach did you do?
So there are, I think, two locations that are adjacent to schools, and I have met with their principals. Schools, this is an easy sell to schools because we promise to come back and do programming with their kids. So Principal Cox with Hubert Middle School, I met with him Tuesday and his staff, and we're all on board. And the Savannah Classical Academy, I actually have an email from him. I didn't bring that today, but I can supply it to you. Then there are two churches. I have reached out to them. I have Asbury. They know about it. I've shown them their art. The other church I've never heard back from. I've called them twice. The housing authority, Blackshear Park, I actually met with staff on site, told them about the project, reached out again to see if they had any questions or any concerns, and have not heard back. In Gordonston, actually, so one of the members on our selection committee lives in Gordonston, and I asked her, I don't know, Maggie, how many times, at least three times, how do you think your neighborhood is going to feel about this? That was the site that I was concerned about. But she thought it would be fine. I talked with two other residents in the neighborhood to make sure that they got the word out. One of them is a staff person with Ogeechee Riverkeeper, Megan Gerard. And then Sue Fisher, who is part of the Homeowners Association, she knew about it. And then when I was out there to put the public notice sign, the resident that lives on the corner was there. And so I had the opportunity to speak with her. And she verbally told me that she was for it. So, but there was one other effort.
But you had signage out, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. I've had to replace it a couple of times, actually, too, as Ms. Morgan can attest to.
Any other questions? Is there anyone online to ask a question?
Catherine. No, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead, Marie.
Randy Tate here. So one of the
– am I?
Yeah.
One of the issues with storm drains in the city, as you well know, is clogging during heavy rain events and flooding and so forth. Is there any evidence or any even anecdotal that once they get painted, they're less likely to be clogged?
I can't say that there is, but the website, where it's a landing page. So on Water Connects Us All, we put the locations and the art installations up and give background information on the artists and such. And that also is where Adopt a Drain sits, which is a program where people can adopt their drain, keep an eye on it, make sure that right before rain that there's no debris or litter in front of it. And so those two pages sit in the same website.
Okay, good. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. I was handed a speaker card. Artis Wood, would you approach the podium?
Thank you.
Mrs. Wood, I see that you are opposed.
Yes, ma'am.
To your card. Okay.
Excuse me. Let me say that I have seen Ms. Walker at her job for years, given talks, creating programs to help us protect our water. She does a great job, and the city is lucky to have her. Thank you, Laura. I mean that. Now we are looking at a proposal for public art to further this cause, but let me say something about public art. First, as the old saying goes, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You could say that about how we respond to all of our senses, be it sound, taste, touch, or smell. I have heard people tell me that they don't like this piece that's on your screen. I've heard others that say it's just fine. Second, by definition, public art is for all to see, whether we want to or not. We cannot not see it. Should we have not only the freedom to see things we like, but the freedom not to see things we don't? Third, it is permanent, 24/7, at least for a number of years. So it's super important that we choose carefully what we put in our public spaces. Fourth, what we put into a space should be context sensitive. While an artwork may be wonderful on its own, does it fit into the space where it is placed? Do bright primary colors belong in a natural park setting of grass, shrubs, and trees? Fifth and finally, if part of the reason public art is installed is to teach, does it accomplish its goal? I know many who have not made the connection yet between this piece and the point that we should protect our sewers from leaves and trash. I'd like to suggest another way to tell this story with art that might be even more successful. Model SCAD's annual art on sidewalks, how fun it is and how to get so much press. Could lots of drains be painted with chalk or watercolor by students each year, perhaps on Earth Day, like a temporary public concert or a Tibetan Buddhist monk's hand mandala? They could teach, entertain, and then stay in our memories where we would be better off because of it. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Wood. Is there anyone else present that would like to speak about this proposal? Okay, and there is no one online?
No.
Thank you. Okay. Commission members, what is your pleasure? Go ahead, Kim.
How did you know? Kim Campbell. I think my biggest concern is that a couple of these appear to be within a neighborhood. And so I think we need direct support, right, from a neighborhood association on the block face or a neighbor And it sounds like that you probably have that. We just don't have it in front of us. So I think that would be a thing that we would want to see. And that is only necessary for those that are in a residential area. So the ones that I was concerned with were Gordonston, the ones at the school and everything, I think are fine to me. And I think the first round of it has been a very successful project, no matter how long ago it may or may not have been. But yeah, I think my concern is just the ones within residential areas, making sure that we have, I know the neighborhood is aware. I just actually saw a sign for one of these this morning, but making sure that we have that explicit, neighborhood, whether it's a letter, whether it's a neighbor signing off on it.
Anyone else?
Would you happen to know, or could you get the numbers of those that, so maybe we could pull those out and vote on the others?
I know six was one I was concerned about. I believe the one that we discussed with public comment might be another one that might be close. It's those that are have blocks that are residentially zoned surrounding them without any other use near them.
So it's looking like 6 and 12. I have that right.
Caitlin, if you wanted to say something like zoned and residential areas, so we don't miss any.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I'm thinking of.
Other comments? Eileen? Do I hear a motion?
I just wanted to address the public comment and say thank you for coming out and speaking on this. Just from where I'm coming from, it does seem like in this round that there is more text in the artwork indicating sort of the purpose. So hopefully it is able to accomplish the goal of encouraging people to consider where the water goes. So that for me is why, you know, I'd be voting to approve these, but.
Anyone else? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Kim Campbell, I move that we continue the petition for the 14 storm drain murals to up to, what is the date of the May meeting?
May 7th.
Up to May 7th, so that all of those that meet the definition of being in exclusively residential areas can receive the support of neighbors and or neighborhood associations associated with them.
Do I have a second for that motion?
I have a comment. I think
there's a motion on the floor, and without a second, it's going to die. Okay. So the motion dies. Okay.
This is Randy Tate. I would have approved that motion if it had been at Caitlin's recommendation, the some residential only, and those would be left out and the rest would be approved.
Okay.
Austin, I have a question on the general procedure. Is it possible to do like a conditional approval pending getting those letters within a certain time frame?
I think in this case where it was going, just kind of keeping it all together, since this is kind of a package deal with all of them, whereas the other one was just two signs, this one with so many of them all being part of the same project, I think it should, you know, it seems like it would make sense. I mean, y'all are ultimately going to decide, but it would make sense to keep it all under the same umbrella here. And then just what, you know, you could do a condition or you could just say, continue to keep it all together. Because a conditional approval, I think it may still end up moving on to city council. Whereas the continuance would give them a little more time.
Which areas are you saying are residential?
We're going to have to probably go into SAGES one by one and confirm which ones are. And we may have that ready to go on the admin side of things where we're not posting it, but we can confirm them all.
So with all that said, Austin, I'd make a motion to continue the entire application pending letters of support in those residential areas.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Remember, we have to have a report
of that motion. All in favor?
I'm just.
How long is are we allowing it up to?
Oh, 90 days again?
90 days.
So May 7th.
Keep things easy.
May 7th. Okay.
Austin, I vote aye.
Randy.
Randy, aye.
Eileen, aye.
Kim, aye.
Chloe, aye.
Thank you. And thank you, Ms. Wood. We appreciate everyone's presence here today. Okay, so do we have any other business? If not, our next regular meeting is March 5th in this room at 4 p.m. Thank you all for coming. Our meeting is adjourned.